This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
So today, we have a number of other stories to get to, as you can imagine. 855-839-1210. But of course, the big story is still as it always is, the impeachment nonsense. You know what I also found fascinating is that a number of people have noticed with regards to Kate Smith, everything we said yesterday regarding her singing with Paul Robeson, who is a he's dead, but he was at the time as a black civil rights leader, who also sang the song about the darkies, which was considered satire at the time. And more people are noticing that today. And I guess the real question becomes, will the Flyers get any grief for this? Paul Molshine over at NJ.com had a great piece that I wanted to share a couple pieces with you from here. He said in there, the New York Yankees and the Flyers both succumbed to the mass hysteria concerning Kate Smith. She was famed for the rendition of God Bless America until her song was trashed on the grounds of posthumous political incorrectness. The song "That's Why Darkies Were Born." He writes, many people, including the Yankees and Flyers management, concluded that her recording of the song's lyric connotated racist intent. He writes, haven't these people ever heard of Paul Robeson? I have. Back when I was going to Rutgers, many students and faculty held up the African-American Robeson, who was valedictorian of the class of 1919, as a paragon of civil rights. In 1931, Robeson recorded a version of "That's Why Darkies Were Born," clear evidence that it was, as one internet commenter put it, an ironic slap in the face to the Jim Crow South. This is evidenced by this excerpt of lyrics. Quote, someone had to laugh at trouble, though they were tired and worn, had to be confronted with any old thing. That's why darkies were born. Read the full lyrics and you will see the song was written from a standpoint of sympathy for Southern blacks. That's where Newman comes in. Newman included a 1932 song titled Underneath the Harlem Moon by Harry Gordon and Mark Revel. It included a similarly ironic lyric, quote, ain't no sin to laugh or grin. That's why darkies were born. Now, this is interesting, too. I want you to think about this in terms of Randy Newman, I should say. Randy Newman, who is a singer. And Randy Newman's work has been in a number of movies. Probably one of the most famous composers, Randy Newman, actually, when you think about it. How many different movie scores has Randy Newman done, or songs?
He's done a lot.
A lot, right?
Yeah.
And all the Toy Story.
Toy Story, yes. That's right, right? You've got a friend in me. Mm-hmm. That's Randy Newman,
yes.
Right? Randy Newman.
Short People.
Yep.
No reason.
Short People. Well, that's what's funny, right? That song, Short People, I don't know if you know this or not. 1978, there was a bill introduced in the Maryland legislature to ban his song, Short People. Did you know that?
No.
I'm not kidding you. It's actually true. I didn't know that either, but Paul Molshine put that in his column today. Yes, they wanted it banned from the radio on the grounds that Newman was attacking short people. The full legislature was wise enough to let the bill expire without passage. The leaders of the Yankees and the Flyers would have been wise to let the hysteria run its course as well. According to the New York Times, the furor was sparked by a single email to the Yankees from a fan. Left to its own devices, that fan might have gone on to become one of those bores who corners strangers and forces them to look at videos on his cell phone. But now the teams face controversies of their own making. As for the Yankees, they at least have the good sense to state that they were simply suspending the playing of the song while carefully reviewing the situation. The Flyers went further. Team president Paul Holmgren ordered the removal of a statue of Smith and said, we cannot stand idle while material from another era gets in the way of who we are today. It's tempting to say of former athletes he got hit in the head too many times. But in Holmgren's case, that's true. If you go to the internet site hockeyfights.com, you can witness Holmgren getting hit in the head over and over and over again while doing the same to opposing players. Here's a guy who found nothing wrong with engaging in brawls in front of thousands of Flyers fans, yet he believes the current crop of fans are going to be upset by some songs recorded more than 70 years ago by a woman who performed such public services as selling millions in war bonds during World War II. Now that the teams have created this mess, I suspect things will go easier in the Bronx than in South Philly. The Yankees can put Smith's song back in the lineup at any time, but the Flyers haven't had the issue of that statue. He said, I spent most of the 1980s working in Philadelphia when I first visited the sports complex. I couldn't figure out what a statue of a singer was doing there. I soon learned that the Flyers fans saw Smith as the good luck charm who led the team to victory in many Stanley Cup playoff games. I also learned that Flyers fans are not the most politically correct fans in America. If you doubt that, I invite you to show up at a Flyers game wearing a Rangers or Devils jersey. As the old saying goes, the opera's not over till the fat lady sings. And he suspects that God Bless America will be singing once again before the curtain comes down on this show. But it's too late because the statue's gone. So, now where is the statue now? Does anybody know?
I don't know.
I'd like to see it be placed on the Wildwood Boardwalk. Right? That
honestly,
would be nice.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Is there a way we can get it, like you know, like we can start a GoFundMe thing and, you know, buy it back from them or something?
I wonder if we could. Yeah, like what do you do with it was bronze, right?
Yes.
What do you just do with a bronze statue? Do you put it in the basement of the Wells Fargo Center?
Probably, because it's valuable. And, you know, look, maybe there will be justice in this. Maybe the truth will come out and then maybe it'll be back.
They'll put it
Is
back?
Is that possible?
Have they ever done that before? Take a statue down and then put
no.
it back? Probably not, right?
No, I don't
but
think
there's
so.
Always a first time, right? Could be.
I think it would be interesting if all of this came out because it was. So people from back in the day who worked with Ed Snyder are all saying, you know, Ed would have wanted an investigation. He never did anything as a knee-jerk reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very interesting to me that there's a controversy within the Flyers organization to say we should have just investigated.
Yeah.
To figure this out.
Randy Newman sang the song Short People. What year was that that it came out? Do you know? 1980? Is that right?
It sounds right.
Or was that even before that? 1977, I think. Yeah, 1977. Let me read you the lyrics from Short People. Short people got no reason to live. They got little hands and little eyes, and they walk around telling great big lies. They got little noses and tiny little teeth. They wear platform shoes on their nasty little feet. Well, I don't want no short people. Don't want no short people. Don't want no short people around here. This is my prom theme, by the way. Short people got nobody to love. They got little baby legs and they stand so low. You got to pick them up just to say hello. They got little cars that got beep, 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 going peep, peep, peep. They got grubby little fingers and dirty little minds. They're going to get you every time. Well, I don't want no short people. Don't want no short people. Don't want no short people around here. Now,
wow.
Do you think that Randy Newman was being satirical or did he literally want short people to be killed? You want them to be killed?
Totally satirical.
The song was misunderstood by many listeners who wrongly assumed that it reflected Newman's personal viewpoint. He also had another song called Rednecks.
Yes, Rednecks, yes.
You remember that song?
Yes.
I like when Dawn sings it, too. Rednecks is sung from the perspective of a Southern redneck. In it, he expresses his dismay at the way that the North looks down upon the South. In particular, the narrator describes his ire. Which one is this?
Redneck.
This is Redneck?
Yeah.
Some smart-ass New York Jew.
Oop.
And the Jew laughed at Lester Maddox. And the audience laughed at Lester Maddox, too. Well, he may be a fool.
Now you may want to stop it because I think the N-word's in this as well.
Okay, all right.
As the song ends, the narrator turns his knife on judgmental Northerners, calling them as hypocrites. He achieves this by singing that the North has set the N-word free, and then sings African-Americans are only free to be put in a cage, and then lists a number of black ghettos in northern cities, like Harlem and Roxbury in Boston, East St. Louis. The final lyric is, they, Northerners, gathering them up from miles around, keeping the N down, and he says the word in there. Mm-hmm. Writing the Los Angeles Times, Randy Lewis said Newman had peeled back the curtain on bigots and hypocrites with this song. In 1995, Newman admitted that he was still nervous performing the song. This is from Wikipedia. A lengthy description of the Dick Cavett broadcast is offered by author Stephen Hart in his 2014 essay, He May Be a Fool, But He's Our Fool, Lester Maddox, Randy Newman, and the American Culture Wars, which appears in the collection Let the Devil Speak. Hart maintains that Cavett was, if anything, too diffident with Maddox, who played word games about the meaning of racism and segregation before taking theatrical umbrage and storming off the set only a few minutes before the end of the show. Newman felt differently, saying, quote, now I hate everything that he stands for, but they didn't give him a chance to be an idiot. And here he is, governor of a state. These people elected him in Georgia. However, many million people voted for him, and I thought that if I were a Georgian, I would be angry. He said that if one of his many songs may have he've done differently, it would be the Redneck song a little bit. But his whole point in doing this He said it was one of his favorite compositions. He said this was, he did this after watching Maddox on with Dick Cavett, and saying that he was treated rudely. They had elected him governor in a state of 6 million people, and that I would have been offended in the fact that, you know, he was a bigot and a fool, but they would have been offended by how he was treated. So he wrote Rednecks to explain where he felt they were coming from and how people look down on them, he said, in one of his essays. Obviously, satire.
Yes.
Randy Newman still works in Hollywood.
Yes.
Why is that?
Truthfully, I mean, because he's a Democrat, but also because he's a well-known artist, and everything that he does is this sarcasm. So he's known for that. Like, my kids love him, but we talk about what he's doing. It's all satire. It's all sarcasm.
He had a song in 2002. Do you know what it was called? I'm Dreaming of a White President. Now, Dawn, do you think he was really dreaming of a white president?
No.
No? You don't think so?
No, no, no.
How come?
Because he's known as a very liberal person who's a total 100% Democrat.
I'm dreaming of a white president just like the ones we've always known. Which is a very funny lyric, by the way. He did this to Irving Berlin's White Christmas, which is ironic because Kate Smith sang Irving Berlin's God Bless America, right? I'm dreaming of a white president just like the ones we've always had. And he does this this groundbreaking album, obviously, which is he's not looking to just have a white president. But anyway, Newman, if you just look at all this stuff from not knowing the context, you would say racist monster, would you not?
Yes.
And then wouldn't you want everything that Randy Newman's ever done to be gone?
Scrubbed.
Scrubbed, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, wouldn't that include Toy Story?
Yes.
Now, is Randy Newman in Toy Story 4?
I think he's in all of them. He did Monsters, Inc. He did all those.
Well, shouldn't all those movies be scrubbed?
No.
No, I think they should.
Yep.
No. Tear down Randy Newman.
Yeah.
I'm coming for Randy Newman. He's next. All right, I'll talk more about this in a second. But by the way, you'll never believe his politics. It's shocking, right? Shocking.
Riccioli 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.